Money and markets. I want to step back and talk about the economy because we just reviewed the first quarter reports. Essentially, the U.S. gross domestic product for Q1 collapsed, is the best word to say. The official report was that growth had slowed to 0.1%. That's 0.1% GDP growth. That's quite a drop from last year. The consensus expected was much more positive. Why? I don't understand. Once you piled Obamacare on top of everything else, it's hard to see how you were going to get any kind of growth. The fact that the number was technically positive is really as a result of sort of reverse heroics by the statisticians at the Commerce Department. And of course, the Fed continues to engage in quantitative easing. We saw more taper this week, but still the Fed is pumping a tremendous amount of money into the economy. And that's part of what the problem is. We're getting inflation on the expense side. So real growth is negative. Let's look at some of the particulars. Total fixed income was down almost 3%, equipment spending down 5.5%, residential investment down almost 6%, net trade exports minus imports was down. Declining inventories. There'd been a fair amount of inventory buildup in last year. Bill King of the King Report argues that the real gauge for the U.S. economy is real median income. I agree. The Bureau of Labor Statistics reported the U.S. wages and compensation have increased 1.7% for the last year, which is less than the rate of inflation. And that's contributing to the fact that the household savings rate is down. And it remains well, well below historical long term. So the message is the growth in consumer spending that we're seeing is simply increased household costs for non-discretionary services, healthcare, housing, utilities, financial services from rising interest rates. And so, food prices, healthcare, energy prices are all socking the consumer. And the squeeze that is all part of the slow burn that we've talked about many times is on. One of the contributions to that, of course, is Obamacare. We're watching healthcare expenses really rise towards, now it's a record $1.85 trillion but it's headed towards a $2 trillion level. So here's the bottom line. What we saw in the first quarter, in real terms, real median income down, the real GDP down. So we're watching a contracting economy. And it's not just in the U.S. Part of the picture was collapsing exports, and that's reflecting a weakened global economy. Now, the big question is, are the tensions or the geopolitical tensions weakening the economy, or are those tensions a result of a weakening economy and everybody scrambling for cash flows? Clearly, the tensions between the G7 and G20 have been growing and are growing still more. And one of the examples of that, of course, is the Russian-Ukraine situation. We see many reports of the Russian planes flying the U.S. ships and basically jamming their systems in a way that's very bad news for the United States because it basically says the U.S. is not invincible, and that's bad news for the dollar, particularly bad news when you impair the functionality of the U.S. Navy. Big tensions between China and Japan, and of course, reform in China. Good for China, but, more tension in the global economy. And of course, we see part of the G7 versus G20 tensions is the global pushback from the Snowden revelation. So all of that makes for a part of what's slowing the economy down. But of course, we have sort of the fundamental nature of peak everything that we've put off with more printing of money and more debt, but now the real stuff is catching up in the real prices. I think the thing that's causing the most pain is rising food prices. It's quite extraordinary. But we also have rising housing costs and rents, rising energy prices, and of course, rising energy prices increases the cost of food and the cost of maintaining a house. Unemployment continues to be high and appears to be rising from the most recent claims this week. Wages falling, consumer, as I said, median income is up, but less than inflation. So in real terms, we're really seeing fall. The drought, I mentioned I drove from the Ozarks down into Texas across to here to Palm Springs. The drought is very bad, and it's very bad on the psychology of the people in the Southwest. It's turning up as part of the problem with the food prices. I don't believe we've begun to see the rise in food prices that the drought can cause. So I'm going to hammer on that today. I want you to think a lot about how you're going to adjust to that. Obamacare has still not hit home yet, but it's clearly having an impact, whether people are experiencing rising insurance costs or they've been thrown off their plan and are scrambling. Finally, the disasters are really having an accumulated effect. When I came through Arkansas, they got hit by bad tornadoes, and we see, you know, a town really destroyed. People are looking around at all the different disasters, tornadoes, earthquakes, tsunamis, on and on and on. And, you know, there's just real concern, not just about could a disaster happen here, but the aftermath. We're essentially on our own. And I would say all of these things are adding up to something which I think is a greater impact on the economy than any one of them, and that is this sort of general state of dread. And when you feel that, you know that something's terribly wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. It's not any particular one thing. It means you can't assess risk, and so you pull in your horns and pull back. Now, it's interesting, we're watching still with this downturn in the underlying economy, we continue to watch a strong or relatively strong equity markets. One of the big contributors is social media and cyberspace. What you're watching with the internet is a very effective next round of shifting income out of Main Street, out of small business, out of households, and into corporate America. Part of it is it's re-engineering jobs through automation, and part of it is it's just grabbing market share. I talked recently about the Yelp stories. I was trying to find a local restaurant in Nashville. I was headed to Nashville a couple weeks ago for dinner. And of the first five local restaurants I called, five had gone out of business recently. And I finally found a sixth. But what I found was all sorts of national restaurant chains. I had two stories up on the blog about Yelp, allegations about Yelp sort of targeting local and small business. I tend to believe it. And as I talked about it in the annual wrap-up and the first quarter review, all of this is part of sort of re-engineering revenues online, but it's steering more income into companies and into online sales out of Main Street. Now, in the meantime, companies over the last year have paid over $1 trillion in dividends and stock buybacks. So, and not surprisingly, we see Americans now hold the largest percentage of their financial assets in securities, stocks, corporate bonds, and mutual funds. A recent Gallup poll up on the blog last week shows that Americans now prefer stocks and precious metals ties for 24% of preferred investment, with real estate still leading at 30%. Real estate prices are up around the country, even though housing sales are dropping off. So this all has important ramifications for the election. We've seen a lot of Jeb Clinton versus Hillary Clinton trial balloons over the last couple weeks. As I said before, we're watching candidates around the country, particularly Cuomo and Christie on the East Coast, knocked out by the sort of juggernaut of what I think is coming on the election. Interestingly enough, the polls show that a lot of people really don't know who Jeb Bush is. They know who Jeb Bush's family is, but they really don't know Jeb Bush. So Clinton is obviously much more well-known. But I think it's a long way to the elections. And if you look at what's going on in the economy, it's very bad news for both parties. James Carville said it was all about jobs, jobs, jobs. And I think that's what we're going to see coming into the election. Republicans would like to make it about Obamacare. They have a very good story there. I don't think it's going to work. The general population is much more interested in issues of income. Housing is going to be important because the housing market has really been struggling, and we now see the U.S. home ownership rate fall to a 19-year low. Housing is looked now as much more of a consumption and a potential liability. You know, young people have watched what happened to their parents and the people, the homeowners around them, and they don't necessarily see it as anywhere near as attractive an investment. Of course, loaded down with student loans doesn't mean they're going to they're going to be ready to take on a lot of debt soon. Gary North had an interesting piece. It's up on the blog. I think it's called something like, is Facebook going to replace Obama? And he really talks about what happens when general disgust reaches a level where people walk away from the system. And the polls he describes in terms of our general population within North America with the U.S. government is very significant. It's worth taking a look at. Let's talk about the markets. What's interesting, it's everything's been chopping sideways this year. The S&P 500 and bonds are about up about 1% to 2% for the year, still relatively flat, although the U.S. equity markets continue to look strong. Gold has been coming down. It was up as high as 15% for the year since January 1, and now it's down around 7% and looks soft and falling. Emerging markets still slightly down. At various times, they've kind of perked up but haven't really shown anything yet. And the strongest sectors are food, commodities, and bonds, surprisingly, despite our expectation that the long-term turn in the bond market is coming. Whether the developed markets or emerging equity markets are going to turn up or not remains to be seen or going to show any kind of strength. The reality is, if we're all going to fight with each other, you know, that's going to be good for some equities, but generally bad for the markets in total. As I said before, the drought is very significant in the Southwest United States and out in California. Beware what this can do to food prices. They're up a lot already. It can get much worse. And if you haven't, it's time to get radical about a food budget and how you make sure you arrange really high-quality fresh food at affordable prices for you. It's really worth creating edible landscapes. We did a Solaria report several years ago with Eric Tonsmeyer, who's one of the real leaders in edible landscapes. He's got a great set of books on it, and he's working on a new book. So think in terms of, you know, how you can turn your trees and your landscape into something that produce fruit and vegetables and food for you, because the price rises are going to continue for the future indefinitely. So just keep thinking about ways to do that. Some stories on the blog I want to point out. I've been writing a series, and I just put up part 4 called Promoting Women. I recommend it to you because there is definitely a game going on promoting women, and it pays to understand sort of the real issues and the political issues behind it. So you get the deeper story on that. And that's something that you're going to continue to see. And it's, if you look at all the people who stole $40 trillion during the financial coup d'etat, now that they've had the Mark Zuckerbergs and the Bill Gateses of this world help them steal it, they're going to, you know, they're going to hide behind the skirts of a lot of very charming women. Another post, let's talk about sell in May and go away. If you look at the performance of the S&P 500 since the beginning of the index, it's absolutely astonishing. In fact, most of the gains occur in equities between November and May, and essentially, you know, 5% or less occur between May and November. And so it's, you know, it's almost like our seasons are risk on and risk off. And precious metals tends to be the same. And so in May, everybody goes to the beach and it's risk off until they're back and focused in October and have a new federal budget. So take a look at it, because if you're investor managing your assets, I think it's a very important phenomenon to understand. And there are years which are exceptions. So who knows what could happen this year. The U.S. aims to defuse tension over control of the internet is another story. If you look at the domain shift, it's very interesting. If you drill down, what you find is the people in control are now a combination of U.S. government agencies and defense contractors with European government agencies and defense contractors. So what we're seeing is a shift of the internet very much to a G7 kind of control.